Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sports Buffet, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your chef, Tim Dick, will be serving up a feast of information on professional sports in Atlanta, as well as his Georgia Bulldogs, and yes, even the North Avenue Trade School. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents the Sports Buffet with your host, Chef Tim Dick.
Hello, everybody. Come on in. Come on in. It's the grand opening of the Sports Buffet. I'm Chef Tim Dix, the man behind the counter, Rich Tate. We've got a fast-paced show promised for you. Go ahead and get ready to place your orders now at 347-324-5735. That's 347-324-5735. Patrons, Rich Tate will take your calls. You can place your order. And, Rich, you there?
I'm here.
Rich, if they place an order that we like, they will hear what?
Oh, let's see. They will hear this.
But if we don't like your order for any reason whatsoever, you're going to hear this.
Nothing for you.
And we're going to have a lot of fun. We've got a full menu for you tonight. We've got some appetizers we're going to touch on right at the top of the show. Then our main course will be our interview with Atlanta Braves beat writer for the AJC, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Dave O'Brien, and he'll give us the latest on the Atlanta Braves. Then we will talk about the health inspector's scorecard, and then we'll go to the to-go menu. We'll let you know where you can see and attend Atlanta pro sports and college teams in the upcoming week. Then dessert normally is for everybody, but tonight is just for me. Let's move into the appetizers. Of course, it is Super Bowl week, Rich. Here's some things I noted today. You can get a single ticket right now that will range between $1,800 and $7,800 each. And for a cool $133,000, you can get a 16-person suite, and they'll throw the food in for free.
You know, if I'd have known it was that affordable, I'd have been there.
Also, the line is 7. Pittsburgh favored by 7. The over number is 46.5. This is big stuff in Pittsburgh and in Phoenix, and I just don't get the feeling that there's a vibe anywhere else. How about you, Rich?
As I said when we talked about it a little bit on Pandemonium last week, my head says Pittsburgh, my heart says Arizona, but I think the Steelers are going to come out on top unless Kurt Warner comes out throwing bullets early. They get a
Let's move on into the.
Though.
Yeah, well, I'm going to withhold my my opinion about the Super Bowl until I get to eat my my dessert a little later on the program. But let's talk about some Atlanta sports right now in the second quarter with 3 minutes and 34 seconds left to half. Atlanta down by 20 at Miami, and they had a tough loss last night, Rich, at the Highlight Factory. 6 minutes, the last 6 minutes, missed 8 consecutive scoring attempts. 3 of them were layups, so it's looking rough for the Hawks right this second.
Actually, they did just start the second half as they were at half when we went to air. But let me point out that in the first half, they only scored 27 points. That was the fewest first half points ever scored by the Hawks in franchise history.
Good news on the Hawks front. Al Horford did travel to Miami and is going to practice the rest of the week. My understanding, he will practice the rest of the week and hopes to return to the floor sometime next week, and they certainly are missing the big man.
Yeah, and A.C. Law is back in the lineup tonight, so that hopefully that helps. Well, it's obviously not helping tonight.
Some other things that have happened recently this past Friday night, the Braves announced their new television announcer will be Jim Powell, replacing Pete Van Wieren. He's 44. He's an Atlanta native. He spent 13 years. No, I'm just kidding. Working for the Milwaukee Brewers with Mr. Baseball himself, Bob Uecker. And so he's a hometown guy. He's getting the opportunity to come back, and they're still trying to get Don Sutton on board for the radio side.
should be good. Powell's good, and who better to sit side by side with for so many years than Mr. Baseball himself?
That has to be. We've got to get him here. There's no doubt about it. Dan Reeves had an interview with the San Francisco 49ers this past week, too, Rich, looking at maybe the offensive coordinator position with Mike Singletary. What do you read off that?
You know, I think it's probably really just Singletary looking to bring in some guys to be around him to maybe groom him a little more. Because I think he's going to be a great coach. I think at this point he realizes that he's probably still got a lot to learn from that end, at least in terms of being a head coach. But you know, I hate to repeat myself, but you know, who better to be around than somebody like Dan Reeves?
Certainly the greatest football coach the Atlanta Falcons have ever seen, and a lot of people trying to even connect the dots that because of the woeful situation at quarterback with San Francisco 49ers, maybe they would entertain thoughts of a trade with the Atlanta Falcons for MV7 should and if he'd be allowed back into the league, and bringing in Dan Reeves would give them a handle on Mike Vick that only Dan Reeves had. Of course, Mike Vick did have his greatest success under Dan Reeves.
Yeah, he did. And you know, here's my thing. I don't know what kind of shape he's going to come back in, but anybody that wants to make him a quarterback, I think it's been proven he's not a quarterback. At least he's not going to be a successful quarterback. There's tons of other positions you could put the guy at that, you know, he's probably going to have a much better shot at succeeding with.
You got any notes you want to throw out there? Any appetizers from you, Rich?
You know, did you hear the rumor about Tom Glavin wanting to go to the Nationals if the Braves don't sign him? That's one thing I'd like us to throw out at Dave O'Brien, see what he knows about that.
It does look crowded in the starting rotation right now for the Atlanta Braves, especially if Hanson makes if he could crack the lineup. I really don't see any place for one Tommy G. And according to Frank Wren, we've turned some pages. And so, I, you know, love Tommy Glavin, brought us a world championship, Hall of Famer, pillar of the community. If he wants to pitch, he might be pitching in another uniform.
Hate to see it. Hate to see it. I feel like if I like Hanson, everything I've read about him and never seen him pitch, don't know that he's ready, you know. I'm thinking, you know, everything I've read says he's probably a year or so away. I think Glavin is a great piece to keep this lineup going, to keep that rotation going through 2009. And you know, here's the funny thing. For a couple of weeks, we've been lamenting, you know, oh, God, what they did to John Smoltz, and there's been no offseason moves. But all of a sudden, just in the last couple of weeks, this rotation is really shaping up. And the bullpen doesn't look bad if these guys come back healthy.
And I want to talk to that note with Dave O'Brien coming up in just a second, fans. We want to remind you that you can place your orders now and you go to the head of the line. Every order will be served as soon as you come online. 347-324-5735 is the number to the sports buffet. Yeah, getting back to Hanson, I've read where you know, maybe a month, maybe a 2 months, maybe 3 months of seasoning, and that's it. And he's ready, according to Dave O'Brien. His stint in fall ball in Arizona, he was unhittable. And we'll be looking to talk with Dave O'Brien here shortly about that very subject. Anybody in the sports buffet, if you've got kids along, don't forget the box right at the front door. If your kid will fit in it, he gets to dine for free tonight. So that's good news. And we also only serve Coke products and sweet tea.
Yeah, no.
And all the empty frames on that wall over there will be filled one by one by one by our guest. And Dave O'Brien will have his portrait taken tonight and go right up on that wall.
You know, and you said before that we will acknowledge there's a hockey team here in Atlanta. And just let me say that with the All-Star break over, that right now the Thrashers are 17-26, but hey, they're tied for 14th out of 16 in the wild card race. So, you know, shaping up to be an even better season for the Thrashers.
And so, and I think that with that record, in the they have the second worst record in the NHL. I think it still qualifies them for the playoffs.
Oh yeah.
It's just that hockey's a wacky thing. So, check the board, Rich. We're looking for a particular number right now.
Let's see. Miami 40. Maybe I need glasses. Miami 45, Atlanta 32 with 7, just under 8 minutes in the third period.
All right, fans, don't forget, coming up a little later on, my dessert only is going to be the crow I get to chew on. We'll talk more about that as it gets. The one thing, Rich, about Super Bowl week that we have yet to mention, we will have to be on the outlook for the most asinine question to be asked. I'm sure Kurt Warner is a married man. Somebody's going to jump up and ask him to marry them. We got to keep our nose to the grindstone. We got to find that one question that somebody from on the other side of the planet is going to ask during this week, because it really becomes by game time, everything has been analyzed, detailed. Put under the microscope, and there will be nothing left but to play that game.
And as we wait on Dave O'Brien, let me just ask you, what do you think of the not only the prospect of Andrew Jones coming back here, but what do you think about them even considering bringing him back here?
There's some late breaking news on that. We will also ask Dave O'Brien that very question when he does come on board. But listening to the comments that Chipper Jones made, and I want to ask DOB about that, I'm just not sure. I was just reading on DOB's blog, which, by the way, while we're talking about that, and while we're mentioning the blog, if you have not had an opportunity to go to AJC.com, go to the sports section, and go to the beat blogs, Dave O'Brien's beat blog will give you the latest breaking news on the Braves, but it's so much more than that. The people that participate in the blog are known as the denizens. The blog is also known as the MIB blog, the Man in Black, in reference to Johnny Cash. They talk a lot about movies. He talks a lot about music. He ends every blog with the lyrics to, I guess, a song that just happened to be on his iPod at the time. And it's more than that. It's a close-knit family, and you ought to avail yourself of that, because you can get an insight into a guy whose sole job is to follow the Atlanta Braves 365 days a year virtually. But getting back to Andrew Jones, I see nothing there for him, Rich. I really don't. I turned the page. Wren said it as much, and I'm all for it. I want to see the kids come along, and if we've got to put a piece in place until then, I'm ready to say I saw the greatest center fielder to ever play the game defensively.
Well, we got the man on the line here. Let's bring him up.
Dave O'Brien.
Who, me? I'm the greatest center fielder to ever play the game?
Defensively, we were just talking about Andrew Jones. Everybody, welcome to the Sports Buffet. The master of the blog, the leader of the denizens, Dave O'Brien, Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
I probably wasn't even the best center fielder to play Little League Baseball in 1976 in Greenville, North Carolina, in the Pitt County League, or the Pitt Tar River Division, or whatever the hell it was.
Dave, I'm so glad that you could join us tonight, and especially on short notice, especially with the grand opening of the Sports Buffet.
The sports buffet. Well, let's chow down, boys.
Let's do. We'll talk about barbecue in a moment, but let's get right down to some notes I made. I was just looking at the blog. You've made some comments in the last few hours, but want to talk about first. I made some notes. These are just off the cuff notes, Dave. So if you follow me about the Fercal situation. Did it seem a bit odd to you that John Schuerholz stepped out in front to criticize the handling of the Fercal situation as opposed to Frank Wren?
Well, not necessarily, because John carries a undeniable amount of respect throughout the industry. So I think Frank, I think it was a good move, actually, because if Frank would have been the one to come to the fore, given that this is his first real true offseason as the GM, he took over last year in the middle of the offseason, early in the offseason, but, you know, this was the first offseason where he was really, all the moves were directly his responsibility. And given what had happened and transpired before that, and two or three different guys that they had come up short on, you know, for different set of circumstances in each case. But given all that, I think if Frank would have come to the fore and said the things that John said, people would have looked at it as, who is this guy, you know? Now he's saying this crap after not being able to consummate the deal with for PV, not being able to get, you know, being outbid for A.J. Burnett, not being able to bring Hampton back here. And then this one comes apart, then who is he to criticize anybody? It's probably his fault. So I think with John Schuerholz step forward, people took the criticism as, hey, there's got to be something to this because John Schuerholz never said these kind of things before. So, you know, if anybody was going to say it, I don't think it could have been Frank given what had happened previously this offseason.
Just to change gears, how yowza is Derek Lowe's wife?
Oh, she's gorgeous, yeah. No question about that. She's right up there with Mark Kotze's, and they were that's at the top of the charts. On the scout scale of 10 to 80, they'd both be 80s.
Hey, you know, I think a lot's being made of, or you read whether the major publications about Atlanta not being a destination anymore for baseball players. I've even heard Chipper say something along those lines. How much do you think, Dave, that has to do with the tenure of Bobby Cox coming to he's certainly closer to the end than he was to the beginning.
Well, I mean, that might be in an isolated case or two, but let's face facts. Bottom line is they haven't been in the playoffs in 3 years. That's why they're not a destination, and they don't overpay or they don't compete head-to-head for some of the highest-paid players in the game like they did before. When they had – people forget that when Ted Turner on the team, this payroll was in the top five in baseball every year, top three a lot of years. They were only $5 million behind the New York Yankees in about 1999, 2000. So you've seen the Yankees go to three times the level of the Braves payroll in a matter of 6-7 years. So it was a destination when everybody knew that, one, they're going to be treated the way Bobby Cox treats players, which is first class all the way. Two, Ted Turner was going to spend with anybody. And three, they went to the playoffs every year. Well, you drop Ted Turner from the equation, and payroll's all of a sudden right in the middle of the pack slightly. You know, maybe about in the top third borderline. But missing the playoffs 3 years in a row is what is the, you know, when they get back to the playoffs, that changes. I mean, granted, it's going to matter who takes over from Bobby Cox, because if it's just another manager or if the guy's a hard ass and by not considered player's manager, then that changes a little bit. But it's about winning. I mean, people want to go where they got a chance to compete in the postseason every year. When you had that and Bobby Cox both, and of course it was a destination, especially for pitchers. Every pitcher wanted to pitch here.
You've got some late notes on your blog about Andrew Jones. He supposedly was going to go to Texas. Can you bring us up to speed on that?
Well, I'm not sure if he went or not, but I think he did. He was supposed to go out there and work with, you know, the legendary former Rangers hitting coach Rudy, and I can't pronounce his last name. I always mess it up. But the guy's one of the best that's been, and he's highly regarded. And, you know, it's something that the agent set up that Scott Boras really wants to get to the bottom of what's been – Andrew's problem, to see if they can fix it, and he's kind of pulling out the stops to try to get it done, and this was one of those things that he was doing to try to help him, you know, just let Rudy take a look and see what he thought, you know, get a different, fresh set of eyes on him and see what the problem is.
Well, I saw some comments from Chipper, who had worked out with him. It might have been, he might have reported that he was still lunging at the ball.
Yeah.
And those probably didn't help his case with Chipper. Just being frank or keeping it real, as it were. But
well, him and Chipper are good friends, so Andrew's not going to – you know, it's no secret. I mean, it's not like Chipper's going to hurt his value on the free agent market. People are going to look at what he did last year, not at what Chipper's saying. You know, there's already – everybody's already very wary of signing a guy who, you know, Well, put up the numbers he did last year in the last two and a half years, really. But it's such a low-risk gamble that somebody's going to sign him to a minimum salary contract, because there's really there's – it's just that you don't get a chance to sign someone for such little risk very often. And even if he's not anything close to what he was before, you're talking about you can drop the guy during the postseason. It's not like the contract's guaranteed, you know. You only have to pay a certain percentage of it if you drop him by a certain date in the postseason. They can do the same thing they did with Javi Lopez a year ago. If they bring him in.
Rich Tate's got a question for you, Dave.
Yeah, hey, Dave.
Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, it's Rich.
How you doing?
Good. The rumor about Tom Glavine wanting to go play with the Nationals, I'm sure
that's not a rumor. This thing, you know, in this internet era, everything is 24/7, and things get legs and become bigger things than they ever were. Tom says, somebody asked Tom, well, would you even consider pitching elsewhere if the Braves don't make you an offer? And Tom responds with, you know what, I hadn't really thought about it, but if I can pitch and I've come all this way back, and all of a sudden the Braves say, you know, we're not really interested, or they don't make him any kind of a decent offer, and the Nationals with Stan Kasten make him an offer, then would you consider it? And say, well, you know, yeah, I'd have to consider it. That's what that is. And then all of a sudden that becomes he wants to pitch for the Nationals. It's just ridiculous. The guy is going to pitch here if the Braves make him anything more than an embarrassing offer. And he feels like he can pitch, then he's going to pitch here, period. Now, if the Braves don't want him and they make that pretty clear to him by making him a low-ball offer, a minimum salary or $1 million and with no incentives, and then the Nationals say, you know what, we'll give you $3 million plus incentives or whatever, then he's got to consider pitching elsewhere. He didn't come all the way back, have two surgeries, go through this rehab in the offseason, and in his mind decide that, you know what, I can pitch, which I don't think he's made the decision yet, but after he sees Andrews on Wednesday, if Andrews tells him, hey, the elbow, the shoulder look great, there's no reason he can't pitch, and he feels good, then why wouldn't he consider going elsewhere if the Braves don't make him an offer? I think the Braves are going to make him an offer, and they want him to be there if they think he can pitch and he thinks he can pitch. So this is just people are making out something out of nothing. I mean, you know, he was asked directly, would he consider going to pitch for the Nationals if the Braves didn't make him an offer? And he said, yeah, I probably would. So that's what it is.
Okay. And
Rich, you've got one more question you wanted to ask him.
Yeah.
Or,
I need to jump down your throat. It's just that I keep – the things get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they become rumors that never were.
Right, right. And believe me, we're based off a wrestling website, and we kind of deal with the same stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I hear that you have a pretty good Dusty Rhodes impression.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, come on, Dave.
I might drop
it on
you.
Out, Dave.
Huh?
Give us some of the
out, Dave.
Dream.
Dusty Rhodes, you mean the wrestler?
Yeah.
The man can dream too sweet to be foul. The tower of power, the toast of the coast, the one the ladies love most. That Dusty Rhodes. I was talking to my main squeeze, Miss Natalie Cole, the other day. I said, Natalie, I'm thinking about retiring, baby. She said, you can't retire, Dusty. You can't do it. The kids love you. I don't know. Maybe that's what you're talking about.
That's good. Spot on.
Hey, Dave, I want to run through a couple of things real quick. You've been so kind. I know you wanted to do 10 minutes. Real quick, Super Bowl pick.
Super Bowl picks. I got to go with the Steelers big time.
Favorite blogger on your blog?
Oh, man, I can't offend
any
of them.
Not that I know you can't offend any of them. Let me share you mine. And I know you're
never listening here, but there's a few really good guys on there.
They sure are. And my favorite
one is Thrillhouse. Thrill House, Braveheart, even though I butt heads with Braveheart a lot. Lou, of course, is good.
There's
a bunch of them.
My favorite, Roslyn, when she writes in Carter.
Oh, she's a trip, isn't she?
Oh, it's awesome. It's just awesome. Know you love barbecue.
If she's cute, then Roslyn is my favorite.
Well, I know you love barbecue. I know you love music. I want to show you.
I grew up in Eastern North Carolina, so of course I love barbecue.
Absolutely.
Smoking Joe Kubek. Benoit King going to be here in Barnesville, Georgia, for our Blues and Barbecue Festival on April the 24th, 25th. That's the good news. The bad news is you'll be doing a weekend set in Cincinnati with the Braves.
Oh, I wouldn't count on that because that's a trip that I might have Miss Carol Rogers take. I don't know. We'll see. That's not
sounds
one
like
that that's high on my list.
That sounds like a deal, and we'd like to have you here. We'd love to have you back here at the Sports Buffet.
All
Dave,
right.
Thank you so much for making the call and saving us.
All right, you guys take it easy.
Thanks, Dan.
Have a great evening. He gets jacked up.
You know, I didn't know I was going to set him off with the Tom Glavine question.
It worked out pretty good, though. I tell you what, let's move right on now to the Health Inspector's scorecard tonight, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network. Rich, give them the lineup for the rest of the week right here on the radio.
Oh, good Lord, man. Let's see. Oh, for the rest of the shows. Okay.
The rest of the week on the radio.
Of course, tomorrow night.
Starting with tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, Dan Masters Live at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock on Wednesday, Les Thatcher and myself hosting. We've got the Ring of Honor World Champion Nigel McGuinness joining us, and the Nosebleed section on Thursday night with John Cannon and Joe Coward. I'm not sure yet who their guest is. I think I do, but I don't have it on the top of my head. Just keep checking GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for more information. And, of course, MMA Sunday returns next Sunday.
And don't forget, patrons, 347-324-5735. That brings us to the Health Inspector's scorecard. We're going to start with the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets men's basketball team. Of course, they play in the Atlantic Coast Conference. They're currently in last place in the Atlantic Coast Conference, 0-6 in the conference. Overall record of 9-10, that's last place. Duke leads the conference 23-1, and I do believe, Rich, were number one in the nation this week after their defeat of Wake Forest today.
You know, let me just say this about the Jackets. It's time for Paul Hewitt to go, and I got to tell you, it's only the fourth time in 30 years that they've started 0-6 in the conference. It's just a sad state of affairs over there right now.
Moving on to the University of Georgia men's basketball program, not much better situation there, of course, in the Southeastern Conference Eastern Division. Last place in the SEC Conference, 0-4 in the East with an overall record of 9-10. Kentucky has the best record in the division and the conference with a 16-4 overall record. The Thrashers, as Rich mentioned earlier, they have the second worst record in the NHL. Atlanta last in the Southeastern Division with a record of 17-26-5, 39 points. They trailed the division.
But they're tied for 14th in the wild card race.
They only trailed the division leaders, Washington, by 24 points. And now let's move on to some better news, the Atlanta Hawks. Rich, while I'm doing this, can you get an update on the score? Atlanta Hawks, second in the Southeastern Division with a record of 26-17. They're 7 games back of Orlando, 2.5 games ahead of Miami, pending the outcome of tonight's game with Miami. So that could swing them from the fourth spot into the fifth seed, pending the Detroit outcome.
And with about a minute to go in the third period as we speak, it's Miami 61, Atlanta 49.
All right. We're going to move right on into the sports buffet to-go menu. Tonight brought to you by the letters T&D and the number 7, and for listeners like you. Thank you. Tonight, of course, the Hawks are at Miami, as we were just discussing. Tomorrow night, the Thrashers are at Dallas. Wednesday night, UGA men's basketball is at Florida. The Hawks take on, or at the Knicks, I should say, 7:30 p.m. tip on that Thursday night. Thrashers versus the New York Islanders will be at Blue Land, of course, known as Blue Land. It's really Phillips Arena. Then we've got an empty Friday night in the Atlanta area. Move on to Saturday. Hawks versus New Jersey at the Highlight Factory. Highlight Factory, Phillips Arena. Tip time is 7:30 for that. And then Sunday is a busy day, not to mention the Super Bowl, but Georgia Tech men's basketball at home versus Wake Forest, noon tip. UGA basketball, they're at Alabama with a 7 p.m. tip. Thrashers are at Carolina at 8 p.m. And the Hawks at Milwaukee at 8:30 p.m., and that takes us right on into dessert because it's 6:28 Sunday night. It will be the Arizona Cardinals taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers for the championship of the NFL. Of course, it will be the Super Bowl. And, you know, when the Falcons, our beloved Atlanta Falcons, lost to the Cardinals, I was betting on the Falcons. After all, the Cardinals hadn't played a meaningful football game in a month. They had clinched a month early. Everybody thought the easy road was through the Cardinals. The Cardinals were the doorstep. The Cardinals were the doormat. But let me tell you, there they are. They're there now, and I'm eating crow. And here's why. you can play the Cardinals on Sunday because Kurt Warner makes quick decisions, because they can win the turnover battle and are plus one in the turnover department. Larry Fitzgerald, most dominant player in the game right now on either side of the ball. They have the ability to spread the middle and test Pittsburgh across the middle of the field. And if the Steelers get a lead, hey, they can catch them. They can score every time they touch the football. And they're always their best when things look bad. I bet against them all the way through, and with a mouthful of crow, the 7 points are a gift. Lay it on the Cardinals. Rich, take us on home.
That it?
That's going to do it for us right here in the Sports Buffet.
Waiting for the magic words.
Bon appetit.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Be sure to stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for information on upcoming shows, as well as all the news and information you could ever need and want. As always, GWH thanks you for your continued support.